Hallelujah. Today's scripture reading is 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 27 to 36. 1 Samuel chapter 2, 27 to 36. The title is The Problems in Eli's Household. Problems in Eli's Household. I'll let it read for you. Then a man of God came to Eli and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, did I not indeed deliver myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt in bondage to Pharaoh's house? And did I not choose them from all the tribe of Israel to be my priest, to go up my altar to burn incense, to carry an ephod before me? And did I not give to the house of your father all the fire offerings of the sons of Israel? Why do you kick at my sacrifice and at my offerings, which I have commanded in my dwelling, and honor your sons above me by making yourselves fat with the choice of every offering of my people Israel? Therefore the Lord God of Israel declares, I did indeed say that your house and the house of your father should work before me forever, but now the Lord declares, far be in from me, for those who honor me I will honor, and those who despise me will be lightly esteemed. Behold, the day are coming when I will break your strengths and the strengths of your father's house, so that there will not be an old man in your house. And you will see the distress of my dwellings in spite of all that I do good for Israel, and an old man will not be in your house forever. Yet I will not cut off every man of yours from my altar, that your eyes may fail from weeping and your soul grieve, and all the increase of your house will die in the prime of life. And this will be the sign to you which shall come concerning your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, on the same day both of them shall die. But I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who will do according to what is in my heart and in my soul. And I will build him an enduring house, and he will walk before my anointed always. And it shall come about that everyone who is left in your house shall come and bow down to him for a piece of silver or a loaf of bread, and say, please assign me to one of the priest's office so that I may eat a piece of bread." This is the word of God. This month is a family month in Korea, and the 10th of this month was Mother's Day in the United States. Since I overlooked this topic while preaching a sermon of the Job's patience, I would like to share a message on what kind of a family God desires before this month ends. The family we typically think of is one formed through blood ties. But for us who believe in Jesus, God Himself has declared that He is the head of each of our families. According to the Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 1, the Lord declared that, "I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people." And Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, the scripture said, "So then you are no longer stranger and alliance, but you are fellow citizen with the saint and are of God's household." The phrase "God's household" means God's family. God also established the household of the first man, Adam. In the world, the head of the household is said to be the husband, but the true head of every household of believers is God. So are we truly living our lives with God as the head of our entire family? Each of us must reflect deeply on our own household. When the serpent approached Adam's family, the first family established in Eden intended that Adam should naturally have consulted God, the true head of the household, and followed his instructions. However, instead of asking, he assumed he was the head himself, fell into deception, abandoned God as the head, and made his own judgment. And this became the cause of the fall. We humans are weak and cannot fully comprehend God's will. Therefore, we must ask God even more earnestly. He has promised that if we simply ask, he will not rebuke us, but will generously and freely give us his wisdom. According to the James chapter 1, verse 5, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Amen. What is the problem with Eli's household described in today's passage? Although Eli's son is Hophni and Phinehas held the office of priest, today's passage is described them as scandalous. Here is a scandalous Hebrew is a belia. This means worthless of all the godless. This same term, the belia, is used to describe the Nabal, the former husband of Abigail, who later became David's wife. You can find out that 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 25. It is a name given to those who are considered worthless and depraved both in the eyes of people and before God. In the New Testament, this term refers to Satan's, the personifications of the one who opposed Jesus. You can find at the 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15, you remember that what agreement has Christ with Belia, right? The common translation is record that they were so depraved that they were described as corrupt, who did not know the Lord. You can find at the 1 Samuel chapter 2, 12. After they offered the peace offerings, you can see that before boiling the meat in the water, they would use a three prolonged fork to take whatever good portions they wanted to from all the offerings, aside from the breast and right thigh of the peace offering that God has designated as a priest portion. You can find that the 1 Samuel chapter 2, 13 to 14. They even demand their share before the sacrifice was offered to God. And it was not given to them. They forcibly took it. You can find that the 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 16. This was an act of discrediting the worship offered to God by treating the offering, the meat, for him with contempt. You can see that the 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 17. Not only that, but they continue to sin. They committed all manner of the wickedness against the people of Israel. Furthermore, they committed unspeakable acts of immorality in the sanctuary, a place that should have been holy, such as taking the women who served at the entrance of the tent of meeting into their rooms to lie with them. 1 Samuel chapter 2:22 is just described that. All these evils deeds were reported to their father Eli's. A proper father would naturally have dismissed them or punished them severely. But because of their private relationship, he merely gave them a verbal warning. According to the 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 24, "No, my sons, for the report is not good, which I hear the Lord's people circulating." Yet they ignored even their father's warning. The reason was that God had determined to put them to death. According to the 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 25, I'd like to read for you. "If one man sins against another, God will mediate for him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who can intercede for him?" But they would not listen to the voice of their father, for the Lord's desire to put them to death. Regarding this, the God clearly proclaimed it to Eli through his servant. According to the 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 29, 32, and 34, I'll let it read for you. "Why do you kick at my sacrifice and at my offering, which I have a command in my dwelling, and honor your sons above me by making yourselves fat with the choice of every offering of my people Israel?" Verse 32, "And you will see the distress of my dwellings in spite of all that I do good for Israel, and an old man will not be in your house forever." Verse 34, "And this will be the sign to you which shall come concerning your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, on the same day both of them shall die." Eli prioritized the well-being and the interest of his children over God's glory and holiness. As a result, he effectively neglected his children, allowing them to grow up without fearing God. God took their lives, and his family became a cursed lineage for generations. Even as well as all the Israel received the blessing, his household was never free from troubles. In fact, the line of the priest Eli came to an end with his descendant Abiathar during the reign of King Solomon. Let's look at the 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 27. "So Solomon dismissed Abiathar from being priest to the Lord in order to fulfill the word of the Lord which he had spoken concerning the house of Eli in Shiloh." The problem with the household of the priest Eli clearly lies with his two wayward sons. However, the root of all this problem lies with the priest Eli himself. First, we must conclude that as a father, he failed to teach his children the word. Children must be taught. Children do not turn out well on their own. The reality is that if left to their own device in this world, they will inevitably grow up to be weak. We must not forget this. As parents, we must teach our children the precious truths we have become to understand as those who have lived in this world before them. This is the responsibility of parents. We must teach our children that God is the head of our household. To do this, the parents themselves must demonstrate through their words and action that God is the head of the family. Even in conversation with our children, we must not base our standards on the world's standards or our own standards, but rather on God's standards and His word. We must first live out these principles ourselves and show our children how to live by them. According to the Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 to 7, God teaches, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And this word which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk to them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. First, as parents, we must engrave God's word upon our own heart. God commands us to show our children that we love Him with all our heart, soul, and strength, and to teach them the grace and word we have received at all time and in all places. If Alice, as a father, had lived an honest and godly life according to God's word, blessings would have come upon his children, and the curse could never have fallen upon them. According to the Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7, scripture said, "A righteous man who walks in his integrity, how blessed are his sons after him." In short, Eli was unqualified as a parent. Furthermore, Eli was unqualified as a priest. There is evidence of his spiritual inadequacy. He was so spiritually lacking that when he saw Hannah, Samuel's mother, praying to God in anguish at the sanctuary, he mistook her for a woman drunk on wine. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 12 to 14. "Now it came about, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli was watching her mouth. As her for the Hannah, she was speaking in her heart. Only her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. So Eli thought she was drunk." In the Jewish cultures of that time, the people prayed aloud, but Hannah prayed earnestly from the depths of her heart before God with a broken spirit. He failed to discern that Hannah was praying sincerely to God, not merely to be seen by others. Hannah explained that she had poured out her heart to the Lord and asked him not to regard her as a wicked woman. You can see the 1 Samuel chapter 1, 16. Here, that wicked, the word wicked is a Hebrew Belials, is the same word used to describe the Eli's two sons as scandalous. Eli's spiritual discernment was such that he could not distinguish between Hannah, a true worshiper, and his own sons who were destroying the temples. What could his sons have learned from a father who was a priest like this? If Eli had taught his children the word, even superficially, this situation could never leave arisen. The sons' unbelief was the direct result of learning their father's unbelief. Because Eli, as a parent and a priest failed to set any example for his children to follow, they ended up becoming delinquent people without God. According to the Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. To children, the parents are idols and a source of pride. What may seem the tribal to us, such as a father eating two bowls of rice, is something children boast about among themselves. However, when a parent's words and actions, or their words and daily life, are not in harmony, children are deeply shocked and may even feel betrayed. Consider the household of Abraham, whom we know well. When Isaac realized that the burnt offering to be presented to God was none other than himself, he did not confront his father Abraham by asking, "Are you out of your mind?" He did not disregard Abraham's words. Rather, he obeyed his father Abraham's command to the very end, even unto death. How could such a thing happen? According to the Genesis chapter 18, verse 19, Scripture said, "For I have chosen him in order that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, in order that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him." This was because Abraham had taught his son the word of God, the head of a family, and how to obey God. Furthermore, the consistency between his own faith, words, and actions, which matched what he had taught, served as an example to Isaac. Therefore, Isaac was able to accept becoming a sacrificial offering without the slightest doubt, saying, "Amen." Amen. According to the Psalm chapter 78, verse 5 to 7, "For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should teach them to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children, that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." We too must always ensure that our words and actions align with God's. When we are weak and fail, we should not hide or conceal it from our children. That when we honestly admit it, our children will respect such parents even more. If the level of a hypocrite is once imprinted on a child's mind, they will stop listening to whatever we say. Educational experts say there are no problem children, only problem parents. This is why parents must set an example. Even if by the word the standard, we may seem to live poorly or lead a life of failure, when we raise our children as God's workers, we have succeeded in life and become a blessed family. Amen. The Bible testifies that when the household of Eli, the household hold of a leader lost its direction and the guiding principles, the word of God ceased to be spoken. Let's look at the 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli, and the word from the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent. This was because there was not a single person who knew how to honor God's word. Since the fire of God's word and prayer had been extinguished, the household became a place of darkness. This ripple effect created a spiritually dark church and furthermore led to a nation that had been forsaken by God. When we see that the collapse of a single household, failing to stand firm in faith, led to the collapse of the entire nation, we clearly see that the character of a single household determines the very survival of a nation. Why did Eli's household collapse? The collapse of Priest Eli's household was because his way of life was not God-centered, but people-centered. It was not centered on worship or faith, but on ritual and lust. Eli was rebuked and punished by the God for all his sins. The sin of not serving God as Samuel did, the sin of not raising his children to grow before the Lord, the sin of refusing to know God, and the sin of failing to rebuke his children's misdeeds. Beloved saints, instead of bequeathing other things, such as money, material possession, or honor to your children, you must plant the word within them. As they live their lives, they may go astray or stray onto the wrong path. However, for children in whom the word has been planted, the word will come to mind at the decisive moment of their lives, giving them an opportunity for salvation and restorations. Amen. Let's look at the Psalm chapter 119, verse 9 to 12. I'd like to read for you. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to thy word. With all my heart I have sought thee. Do not let me wander from thy commandment. Thy word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. Amen. As children of God, we must not forget our mission and the responsibility to lead our families in faith. By establishing a godly family tradition and the proper upbringing, we must strive to become families that shine eternally and are filled with happiness, family of amazing blessing, and the families that raise the children God has given us as a gift to be the kind of children God needs until the end of the world. Please do not give up just because your children have grown up. When you first show them what it means to live rightly before God and pray earnestly every day for their returns, that word will surely be fulfilled in our home, just as Hannah confessed. Let's look at the 1 Samuel chapter 1, 27 to 28. Hannah is confessed like that. For this boy I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition. which I ask of him. So I have also dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord, and he worship to the Lord there. Amen. Just as the saying goes, there are no wayward children under praying parents. God the Father will surely turn their heart and enable them to inherit the faith. Since we are God's people, the heirs of his inheritance, those created in his image, I hope you will believe that when we live centered on God, centered on worship, and centered on gratitude, when we live with God as the head of our household, our children will surely become children who please God and bring him glory. Amen. Let us pray together. We thank you for supplying us with the word of life against today's. Through the family of Eli, we have seen that when families of faith do not regard God as the head of their household, and when the parents fail to live according to the word, they themselves first fall before God, and even the children who learn from them fall, ultimately leaving the family to be worthless and corrupt in God's sight. Furthermore, we have seen that as the number of such ungodly families from which God's glory and departed increase, they form an ungodly society, and ultimately an ungodly nation, leading to the downfall of the nations. We thank you for helping us realize that the greatest and only legacy we can leave our children is not other things, such as money, material possession, or honor, but rather the word and faith. It is true that our lives can go astray and we can stray onto other paths. However, you have said that for children in whom the word has been planted, the word will come to mind at the decisive moment of their lives, giving them an opportunity for salvation and restorations. Therefore, please press God's word in the heart of our beloved son and daughters. You have entrusted us with the mission and the responsibility of leading God's household. So please help me first to diligently learn God's word and practice it faithfully. May all of our homes become households where the Father dwells and delight, and may our children, generation after generation, live with the Father as the head of the family, becoming families and the children whom God used preciously. Amen. We pray and ask all these things earnestly in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.